It's derby time. Come on, tell your friends. We'll go to many distant lands with Dan the coach and Jackie the skater. The fun will never end. It's derby time. Welcome to the Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. This is Jackie Bauer. Thank you for joining me today on the path to becoming better athletes, teammates, leaders, and human beings. Hi there, listeners. I hope you're having a good start to your week. Today, I have a special guest, and to let you know what's coming up in the next few weeks, I will have an episode that's kind of based on a book and another special guest. I have never had so many guests before, ever, and it's kind of amazing and wonderful how many nice people are willing to come give their time and their knowledge for this podcast. So thank you, everybody. You're all pretty swell. And the awesome person we're talking to today is Maureen Philippe. Maureen Philippe has played for Stockholm Roller Derby All-Stars for many years and recently moved to Australia. Maureen has a master's degree in psychology and works mainly in sports psychology. Relevant, yeah? And also organizational psychology, also important for roller derby. Maureen has helped individual skaters, teams, and leagues with many different challenges, and in this episode, we're going to dive into some of those, like maybe challenges facing roller derby's individual athletes and teams during our unplanned off-season. Yeah! This ended up being just a really good conversation where we dove into some things, and I think it's going to be really helpful for people right now. So on that note, let's go hear from Maureen Philippe. Joining me today on the podcast is Maureen Philippe. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here.
Could you tell us a little bit about your roller derby background, your origin story, so to speak? How'd you get into derby, and did you have a sports background beforehand?
Sure. Well, I started in 2012. I'd been playing a lot of different sports since I was a kid, but mostly handball for about 15 years. And then in 2012, I moved to the north of Sweden. So I'm from Stockholm originally. I moved to the north of Sweden and did not end up playing handball there. I moved for uni, so the main focus was studying. However, there was this small derby team, and I figured I'll learn how to skate to stay active and have something to do, just, you know, to fill my spare time and keep moving. And then that went completely out of hand, as derby does.
Derby is a thing that eats your life.
Oh, for sure. And I got really into the actual working in the league work, and about only a couple of months in, I did an exchange semester in Dublin. So studied in Trinity College and got to skate with Dublin roller derby. And went with a couple of their skaters up to Belfast and had my first bouts in Belfast before returning back after that semester to Sweden. And then a couple of years later, once I was about to finish up my studies, I think a year and a half early, I transferred down to Stockholm because the plan was to move back home. And I've skated with Stockholm Roller Derby on their 18 since then, and for the last 5 years, and then now at the start of this year in March, I moved down to Australia. But I don't know if this can be called derby move so far.
What an interesting time to move to a new place. What's it been like adjusting?
it's it's been very strange because you had, we, I would have had a, an idea of what's, what would happen and a plan, but obviously everything just did not end up the way that I thought. So it's kind of a take it day by day and see what happens. Yeah.
But you do have your sights set on another team there, right?
Well, I have transferred to VRDL, and I've managed to get a little bit involved on their league work platforms and try and get involved the best I can. The teams have been great, and I've had people reaching out to me and see if I need anything and offering to help, which is lovely. But it is very hard to get into a league without being able to actually meet anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you usually rely so much on developing the camaraderie on the track, and it must be a lot harder to do it distanced doing league work.
Yeah, well, for now, it's just trying to stay involved with the news and the plans and whatever is happening and whenever trainings can restart and so on.
So. How's VRDL been dealing with the trainings and stuff? Is there like a plan for what's going to happen going forward?
Well, right now, like everything is following the guidelines and recommendations. So right now there is no trainings. They've started to open up to allow for smaller groups to train together outside. But you know, anything can change very fast depending on what's happening. So I think as well, day by day.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about your background in sports psychology. That sounds really interesting and exciting. How'd you get into it?
So my study that I moved for was my master's in psychology. And whilst I was doing that, getting into Derby more and more, I got a little bit restless, and I started taking courses in sports psychology from a different university, so online, parallel to the master's. And it's something that always interested me, but now it became very current because I was doing both the psychology studying and the sport, and the competing and everything. So I just got curious and figured, and I had people around me asking questions and having struggles. So I think it's just slowly evolved from those questions, like having people reach out to me and going, well, I'm struggling with this, or do you have any recommendations for that? Or inviting me to things. So I've been around a little bit in Europe and coached both on skate and off skate and held courses and classes and talk to teams and individuals, and it's just been growing from there.
I'm kind of curious about both what you notice the most in Derby for other people, but also how has studying sports psychology first helped yourself in the sport? Like, what are some of the things that you've taken away from it the most to help you in your own performance?
Well, I think it's a very long-term type of work. Like it's a lot of self-reflection, and it's not kind of a toolbox that we like to talk about, where you kind of learn something and then you just apply it whenever needed. Unfortunately, I wish it was. There are tools to be used as a part of it, but not in itself. So I guess for me, it's just been a continuous self-study. Like everything that I learn, I find my own strengths and weaknesses and shaping my own identity as an athlete and what my values are. I think a lot of working with values is very useful for athletes, because that is the long-term motivation, where that comes from. So short-term motivation right now comes from like getting that big hit on track goes, well, I'm going to show you. Whilst the consistent long-term motivation comes from knowing why you're doing the sport in the first place, what brings you to training when you don't feel like it, what makes you try and work with your teammates or coaches that you might struggle with for whatever reason. So that work is very individual, and it's hard to write that in a blog post. How to find that long term, because it's all dependent on each individual.
And I'm sure understanding your values also helps you determine your goals long term too.
For sure, definitely. It helps you realize where you want to go, but particularly why. Mm-hmm. And that is what is going to help you in moments and situations like this, when things haven't gone as planned and we can't do training. And I think that's what's happening with a lot of athletes. I think there's a lot of existential crisis going on where we are being forced to face what our motivation actually is.
Yeah, I've been noticing that a lot lately. Just within the last week or so, I ended up in a group chat with leaders from all around my state, and they were kind of just wanting to check in with each other and asking, well, what are you doing? Are you guys doing anything yet? And the truth of the matter was, we all admitted, well, no, we're not really doing anything yet. There was like some efforts at like a few people maybe getting together to do some things. But as far as making a plan, most of us haven't even started the making a plan without knowing when we can come back together. And when I talk to my teammates, they express feeling like, well, if we can't do Derby right now, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move forward. Do you have anything you've learned from your training that you think can help athletes with that, trying to figure out this really unique time that I'm sure isn't directly in your training? Like, there wasn't a chapter in a book that's like what to do when you can't do this for years or so. So what do you think?
Well, it's not unlike other unexpected obstacles like long-term injuries, except now we're doing it collectively and it affects everybody. I think or there is research that have shown that prolonged disruptions for athletes in their sport, the athletes would go through phases. So it's been discussed that first you have a heroic phase where you face kind of this problem with a lot of motivation, going, I'm gonna face this head on and I'm gonna get through this on the other side stronger, and I can do this. And you actually feel a boost of motivation to begin with. And I think we've seen that a lot with a lot of social media posts coming out, people starting blogs and podcasts and sharing things and like finding, you know, activities online, and it's been great. But then that moves into some sort of a honeymoon phase where you kind of simmer down, because I was saying that motivation is, it comes in bursts. No one feels nonstop motivation. Like, it doesn't exist. It does come in waves. And so the honeymoon phase, people kind of relax a little bit, figure out, okay, I need to focus on myself. And you maybe find a calmness in having that extra bit of time to focus on yourself or on something, on relationships, something that you haven't paid that much attention to because there just hasn't been time. And then you would go through into kind of a disillusionment phase where you're where the crisis come in and you realize that you actually don't know what's important to you or what to do next or how to plan. And it's a bit of a crisis. And when you've gone through that, you get into a more of a recovery and reconstruction. So you come into a phase of acceptance that this is the situation we're in. And what can I do? When you stop focusing on everything that you've lost and start realizing what you still have or what you've gained, and you start adapting to the current situation rather than to whatever you thought would happen at this time. And the important thing with these phases is that they just have to happen. We can't force them through, and everyone will go through them in different paces. So specifically for, as you were mentioning, with team and league leadership and how to plan and structure their training for their teams, it's going to be tricky because everyone's going to be in a different stage of this. So you might probably have had a lot of people joining your Zoom off skates in the first couple of weeks, but then probably you've had drop-offs moving forwards, and then it's going to be a little bit back and forth. Some people might feel that we should be doing more things, but it's going to be hard to motivate everybody. So that's something that I'm assuming people are facing. The people that I've been talking to are facing this.
Yeah, absolutely. The first several weeks, I felt like I was trying to hold the team together by like, let's get together once a week on Zoom and just chat. And sometimes it was fun and sometimes it was sad and sometimes we played games and sometimes we worked out. And then I felt like I needed to take a little bit more personal time away because I don't know if I told you, but I'm still kind of in recovery from a concussion long term. Mm. And it felt like it was a better idea to take less time. And as soon as I stopped trying to arrange those things, nobody else picked it up. And so it kind of made me on the one hand, I was kind of a little bit sad, like, oh no, like, is something wrong? But the more I considered, the more I wondered, maybe this is actually the right thing right now. If nobody felt like we had to do this, then maybe everyone needs this time. And it's actually a good thing. And it's just one of those things where you kind of have to figure it out with your individual team.
Mm, definitely. I think a lot of, like in this time, a lot of our coping strategies will come to the surface. Because we have this extra time and this constant nonstop adversity to face, we're going to notice what we utilize as a strategy to cope with when we're struggling. And everyone has struggles and everyone has coping strategies. It's something that is good that we need. What can come up now is, and what we're going to notice is when we have very few coping strategies that we can utilize, because then we're going to face a whole new set of issues, right? So for example, now if we're handling the situation with avoidance, because that's usually why we haven't seen this before, it's because we've had so much other things to do that we've always managed to distract ourselves from the things that are a struggle. So now if we try and force ourselves to keep ourselves distracted, we're going to notice that very quickly because we'd be doing it a lot. So you might be feeling that you're not doing what you would want to do really, and so on. Or for some reason, for some people, it could be distraction by burying yourself into your training. So you would have people training extra hard right now to cope with not being able to see your team and to compete, which will probably come with other issues with overtraining or whatever it may be, or new injuries. And so I think now is a good time to be aware of how you are coping with this situation and trying to find other complementary coping strategies so that you have more ways to handle struggles. My guess is that this is why Derby is so struggling so much to actually keep an off season, because people don't like not having this thing to focus on, like to just take this time. But now we're being forced into a proper off season, which is probably good in a lot of ways.
I think you're absolutely right. I'm definitely one of the people who, if I could go, 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 I would. But this is a really interesting time because I think a lot of people kind of find themselves in roller derby and it becomes a very strong part of their identity. Like, this is kind of who I am. And I think one of the other struggles is with the absence of the sport, some people are wondering, like, you know, who am I without this large part of myself? I I think most of my team is actually doing quite well focusing on other things right now. They've got a lot on their plates, but I know that there are a few individuals who are just struggling without Derby being around because this was the thing that was so great in their life, and other things in their life didn't feel that great. And they always had this to go to distract, like you said. And so those are the people I try and keep in touch with the most, just to, so they have someone to talk to and vent if they need to. What do you think about this idea of trying to adapt to this identity loss temporarily?
Well, it's something that often when I've talked to coaches and leadership, I think, because this is a thing that when you identify very strongly with something, you fight very hard for it. So whenever you have, or often when you have conflicts in teams or leagues, it is often about the fact that Derby becomes such a huge part of someone's personality. So when something isn't working out the way they want, or if people don't agree, it's not an attack on their ideas, and it's an attack on their identity, on their personality as leadership or athlete or whatever it may be, which makes those conflicts so hard to resolve, because you have to start with detaching the criticism or the argument from the person and apply it to the sport or the role, which can be hard. So in terms of leadership, because they play such a big role in deciding what is important in a team. So if as a coach or as leadership, you are constantly rewarding people sacrificing themselves for the sport in a way where they as a person kind of disappear into it, you're also creating people and athletes that are dependent on the sport to function, that have their entire identity connected to the sport. Like, I don't know if you've watched the Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary.
I haven't yet, but I want to so much.
Well, it's one bit in it, well, where there was a discussion whether or not Dennis Rodman was allowed time off to go off and just have fun. And the coach could recognize that this person needs that time off from the team. I think it was like 24 hours, but they were working so hard, and just getting that chance to step away and recognizing that there is a value in allowing people to build up their person, their identity on something outside of their sport. They need to have relationships outside, because if something happens in Derby, then that is not only risking their athletic role or role as an athlete, it risks their motivation, their only source of pride, their only social network. And that's just awful. It's like losing everything at once. And that's how you get very unstable athletes.
So this is the perfect time for us to work on that identity outside of roller derby and figuring out who we are when we're not here, so that we always have that to come back to, because roller derby will not last forever for any of us. There will be a time limit. There will be a time when we have to stop, each of us. And I think it is really good to know you have something of real value that you're going to be embracing when it's done and during the sport. You shouldn't just be doing this one thing.
Yeah, you should never do just one thing. I mean, I'm not going to say that you're completely allowed, but then this is what's happening, that if you lose that, because even as an athlete, you can then go on to be a coach, or if you then have kids and you become a parent, you can become, you know, the parent that sits on the sidelines and is super involved, and that's all fine. It's all good. But it's good to have a wider base in your personality, to have these things that you care about that exist beyond, or at least to be aware, because it's not necessarily about what you do or don't do, because that's usually what people ask. I'm doing this and I would like to stop, or I'm not doing this. How do I get motivated to train more? Or how do I get less frustrated with whatever this is happening? And it's not what you do or don't do, it's why you do or not do something. If you work out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it's something that you enjoy and you're passionate about, then by all means, go nuts. If you do it because you're worried that you're not going to be enough, or that you're going to be passed over by some other, by someone else, or judged, or that it speaks to you and your personality, like you're a weak person if you don't do that, well, then we have a problem. So you can have two people doing the same things, but the reason behind why they're doing it is going to be what kind of differentiates who is doing it, or their current mental state.
Let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our wonderful sponsors. Roller Derby Athletics provides high-level coaching to derby athletes worldwide. They've been the leaders in home-based roller derby cross training for over 7 years. They offer team training plans to support your league. RDA wants to help teams keep working together toward their goals. Membership is now open year-round, so you have access whenever you need it. You can sign up for the Essential Plan, which is great if you prefer to do workout plans on your own, at your own pace. You can choose from a huge library of derby-specific workouts. If you get stuck, there are instructional videos that can help you understand the exact moves you need to get maximum results. There's also the MVP plan, which is perfect for the derby athlete who enjoys additional coaching. This plan is personalized to your needs and can help you reach your goals a lot quicker with the help of RDA's Skater Success Coaches. You can follow the workout calendar and drag and drop it to fit your schedule and get access to all the boot camps and group fitness challenges for free. My favorite group challenge is Suns Out, Funds Out, because that one helped me get to my first pull-up ever. And I love that the workouts don't take up a ton of your time. They're short and effective. Roller Derby Athletics offers a ton of derby-specific workouts that will help you to be stronger and faster on the track. And it's all provided to you in the palm of your hand in an easy-to-use app. RDA wants to keep everyone safe, strong, and unstoppable. Get started on your fitness journey today. Visit rollerderbyathletics.com/plans to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Bout Betties, the only roller derby subscription service in the world. They offer a range of levels, so you're sure to find a pack that fits in your budget. So whether you're wanting derby enamel pins, comfy athleisure clothes, or sturdy workout apparel, they have you covered. As for me, I super love the apparel. You may have noticed how often I wear it when I make videos for our Facebook page. The leggings, shorts, and sports bras are amazing. The material is ridiculously silky, smooth, and soft. The first time I pulled on my leggings, I could not stop touching my legs and asking friends to touch my legs so they could feel the magic that is this material. And it's so darn cute. There's mermaids, dinosaurs, cats, and many fun new designs coming your way. Whether you're hitting the track, skate park, gym, or grocery store, you will turn heads and bring joy to those you meet. They offer sizes small through 3X, and leggings are bout tested and derby durable. Subscribe today using our podcast promo code POWER10 for 10% off your first pack at boutbetties.com. It's like derby Christmas every single month, and yes, they do ship internationally. Now, back to our show.
You've compared this time period to being kind of like having an injury, except we all have it. Would you like to talk about some of the stages of coming back from that? It's always a good topic to go to talk about, like how you come back from that over time.
From the collective break?
From
the injury.
Yeah, like if you were injured, it's very similar to what we're doing right now. Is I'm sure that this is something that you often deal with when you're helping people. Is it something you'd like to talk about?
Well, it has to do with resilience. And we like to talk about, maybe we often talk about mental toughness rather than resilience. And I think people often see mental toughness, because that's what it is how you act in adversity when things don't work out the way that you wanted or expected, and to kind of manage to keep going with what you set out to do despite that. And often people see mental toughness as something rigid, as in just, you know, head down and keep going and like regardless, and not kind of encouraging to ignore everything that is happening around. However, what we want to achieve and what is long-term more helpful often is awareness, acceptance, and flexibility, which can end up looking like the same thing, but the difference is going to be, how are you coming out on the other side? Are you coming out feeling stronger and like you've learned something, or are you coming out feeling like, huh, I survived this, I just made it through, I managed, it's over, huh, good. Yeah, so being able to acknowledge the adversity rather than pretending it's not there, acknowledging your strengths equally or more than your weaknesses, and focusing on what you can learn from a situation, and acknowledging as well with resilience that you don't have to feel motivated to do something.
Really?
You can do things anyway. I know, it's revolutionary.
I think we do need to hear that.
Right? Because we often feel like, I don't feel motivated, so I can't. But it's not whether or not you feel motivated. That's where you want to go in and say, okay, why aren't you feeling motivated? And can you work on that? Is that something that you're, like, what is the reason that you're doing something in the first place? And can you find that somewhere else? Like, we do need to listen to ourselves and take the time and learn about ourselves and how we react. But it's very individual, so it's tricky to talk about it in general terms.
I appreciate you trying anyway. I guess let's take a step away from COVID for a minute. What are some of the most common struggles that you see players, coaches, teams face? And what sort of things do you mostly help with when you do get to come in and help teams and maybe coach a little bit? How have you gotten to use your education to help?
Well, because I work as a clinical psychologist, so I work very much or mostly with the individual. But I really enjoy the whole line, the whole process from the individual to the smaller group, to the bigger group, to the organization. I also sit on boards, or now it's one board, but I've sat in multiple boards in organizations and seeing how it trickles down into how everything connects and how people make decisions and react based on their own experiences and their own interpretations and their own strengths, and how that creates something bigger. So I have worked with and talked to a lot of individuals. I've been off when Euro Derby Con was on in Barcelona. I held a couple of workshops and classes, and I always enjoy people coming up afterwards and asking questions and having chats and sharing their struggles or their questions, and then being invited to a team and sit down. Okay, well, this is what is happening to the team. This is what the team wants to achieve, or that the leadership wants to achieve, knowing that every athlete, every individual in that group sits with different feelings, different opinions that are all going to affect how this group intervention will work. And the same with organizations. You have so many stakeholders, which is why the work in organizations on that level often become very slow. So the common struggles, again, it's a really hard question to answer.
I'm sorry, I keep asking you to generalize.
It's often a lack of understanding of complexity. If I'm going to give you like a proper answer that most often applies, is that we're looking for simple, quick fixes. And often we're not up for doing the work. There's a lot of interventions, often like workshops and motivational speaking and things like that. It's one-off interventions, and research has shown that it doesn't lead to any long-term changes. It just doesn't. It gives us that tiny boost of motivation going, now that I know this, but it doesn't actually, because the system you're in is the same. And so it doesn't offer you an environment where you can actually implement the changes that you're being motivated to do, because you're still being judged on the same terms, or you still have the same struggles to get through to either certain people or to overcome difficulties, depending on like how your trainings look or your venues or whatever it is. Like, there are so many things that could still be a problem in the structure that's already set, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like in every type of organization, every team, it boils down to each individual finding the why they react a certain way, or why they feel a certain way. And once you find the why, then you can better understand how to maybe make some changes if you need to make changes. And then that will in turn affect the whole organization and team again, if each person has some self-introspection there.
But this is also the tricky thing, because you can't force people to be introspective.
Yes.
People have the right to not be introspective. It's a very frustrating realization, but we are entitled to our coping strategies, and we don't have to know why. If we feel like I want to go through this and just dive myself like into it because it makes me feel better, I am under no obligation to find out why that is. And even though the team might, I don't know, suffer from it or benefit from it, because it could be both, I still don't have to do that. And this is what really interests me and I think is fun with working with teams, is that especially with coaches and leadership, is that you have to acknowledge that you might feel that it would be easier if everyone just knew themselves a little better and had a better grasp of why they do what they do and their coping strategies. But that's not what you're working with. You're working with people the way that they are. And you can encourage them to do individual work, but not expect it. Because, again, people have the right to not be introspective, but we can still, this is, I think, what separates a fantastic coach from a coach that like struggles with just trying to urge people to do things. So a great coach would, or a great leadership would, because this could be captains or even informal leadership on a team, could find that, have an understanding of people's struggles, even though you don't know exactly what it is. If you can recognize that something is a struggle and be prepared to adapt, to accommodate that so that it matches up with the rest of the team, that's how you create a whole team. So I think the difference being leadership for an individual athlete or a team is very, very different. Like, you have very, very different things that you need to focus on.
I love psychology. This is so much fun.
It is so much fun.
Oh, gosh. And it must be kind of fun for you because each team does have different situations, and it's kind of like a puzzle probably each time you get to meet a new group of people.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I
can tell by the way you talk about it.
It is fascinating. I think this is what got me into psychology in the first place, that I wanted to understand these things, why people did the things they do, and how to help people. Like, why do we do things that are bad for us? And how can I help people stop doing the things that are bad for us or start doing the things that are good? And one of the hardest realizations I had was somewhere in the middle of my time at uni, was realizing that I might know or see what the struggle is, but I can't change it if the person doesn't want to change it. Like, there's nothing I can do to force a person that doesn't want to change certain things. So oftentimes I will have patients that are choosing their coping strategies, although they are unhelpful in certain ways, because that's where they are at right now. And all I can do is help them realize and make it into a conscious choice, and then let them do that choice, or let them make that choice, because I can't make it for them.
I love that. It just deepens the level of understanding that we can have for each other as teammates or as leaders. Just knowing the limits of what you can do to help.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also because sometimes forcing those things could be your own coping strategy. It's like, if you feel like it says something about you as a leader, whether or not you get this person to do the thing, then you're going to be very pushy and not look to understand. You'll be aiming to convince. And that's not really a starting point that is very successful most of the time.
Yeah, because then you're just trying to get them to a benchmark or goal, but you can't force, like you said.
And that could be just to make yourself feel like I'm doing enough. I'm being a good leader. And so you also, like, everyone could do that introspection to find out why they're doing certain things. But it's a tricky thing to do, and it's easy to get into your own head. And I guess that's why I have a job.
Yeah, I mean, it is so interesting. Like, is this achievement that I need this person to get, is it about them or is it about me at that point, if you're questioning your own leadership skills?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I love this. This is so much fun. I think we're coming closer to the end of our time. Is there any other, like, message you want to share with the Derby community, or lesson you've learned along your years of Derby that you just wish more people knew about so that they could be more successful and maybe happy in roller derby?
Whew, big question. Well, that is a very tough question. There are so many answers. I think one thing that I've been thinking throughout the situation right now and the pandemic is, one thing that more people could stand to reflect on their own is how we cope with uncertainty. Because this is what happens when there is an injury and we don't quite know how long it will take. This is what happens when things like this happen and we don't know when we're going to get back to training. It's what happens when we're waiting to know if we made the team or how this game is going to go or if I get put on track again the next jam. Like, it's from the big perspective to the tiny moments, is how do we cope with not knowing what will happen next? Because our brains have a wonderful ability of trying to save us from that kind of state of nothingness. And it tends to put in interpretations for us in order to help us out, but often it doesn't. So for some, it depends on what experience we have with us. Some people will put in interpretations of building themselves up. So, it's because this person couldn't handle how good I am, or whatever it may be, or I just need to fight harder to show the coaches that I deserve a spot on the team, whilst other people will insert interpretations of I am not good enough, or there is no point, or everyone is against me, or whatever it may be. And these are all just ways that we are handling not knowing. So to reflect on how you cope with uncertainty and see, is this actually facts, or just these, or are these my thoughts based on my experiences? Because it doesn't have to be true every time. And realizing that will open up more ways of approaching a situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you did great with me springing the big question on you.
But that's probably the one thing that I'm lacking a lot when I'm talking to people.
I think you're doing so good. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we go?
Well, I think right now, like, I hope people take care of themselves and listen to their own bodies. Make sure you sleep, eat, brush your teeth. Like, do the everyday things that we need, even though we don't feel motivated at times. And then notice the thoughts that pop up when you don't do the things that you should be doing, or do the things that you feel like you shouldn't be doing, and realize that shouldn't according to what, and based on what, because we're in a very unique situation. And so just go easy on yourselves. And if you do have some spare time, then this would be time to read up and educate yourselves on issues that are very current right now, if you have that space. But if one of the good analogies is often put on your own oxygen mask first before helping anyone else. If you're not doing okay, then you're not going to be able to do anything for anyone else. So make sure to take care of yourselves.
That's a really good message. Where can people find you on the social medias if you would like to be found?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram as Maureen Philip 11 on Instagram, and I think the same on Facebook. I don't think I'm too hard to find. And I'm always very happy for people to send me messages and ask the questions. I post very sporadically because I also look after myself because I have things.
Absolutely. So yeah. Got to put on your oxygen mask.
For sure.
And I'll be sure to include links in the show notes for people who want it to be really easy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here today. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. It's so much fun to talk about psychology.
It is. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a big topic that it's often really hard to generalize and kind of summarize into small things. But this has been a lot of fun.
Thank I think you. There are so many great takeaways. So thank you so much.
I really loved getting the chance to talk to Maureen. There is just so much knowledge there, and it was such a wonderful and interesting conversation. I really think we're going to have Maureen Philippe back on the podcast to talk about other stuff in the future, because it was just so much fun. And speaking of some of the things that we talked about, I actually, since recording this with her, have started watching The Last Dance, and I just got to the episode where they decided it would be okay for Dennis Rodman to go on that very, very short vacation and get that break from basketball. And in the next episode that I'll be watching tonight, I'll get to see what effect that had on his season. And in terms of how teams are dealing with the unplanned offseason right now and individual athletes, I'll give you a little bit of insight into how my team is dealing with it. I was really happy because just a few days ago, someone took the initiative to put up a poll in the group because questions had started coming to the board asking about when practices might resume. And I liked using the poll because everyone could answer and show where they're at. And some of the options in the poll were like, I'm wanting to do trail skating, footwork, and workouts. Another option was,
I want to have outdoor practice. Another was like, you know, I'd like to have some small social meetups. That's what I want to do right now. And the other was like, ready for a nap, meaning those that are enjoying / needing the time away for whatever reason. And that's actually the category I fall into right now. I can't do too much as I'm recovering from my concussion. And so I am taking it as slow as I can manage. And that's very hard some days. And I need to be away from the pressure of wanting to do more. And what I really loved about the poll too is it was explicitly said, this is pressure-free and meant to help you identify other skaters that are at your same level of readiness. You will be responsible for planning your own activities. So this isn't something where leadership has to drive it. Anyone and everyone has the power to schedule a little meetup for some trail skating, or maybe in a parking lot for an outdoor practice. Anyone can do this anytime. Because after all, my team doesn't have access to either of our practice spaces right now, so those are definitely off the table. And not everyone is in a place to want to have an outdoor practice. Now, your team might be in a place where you do want to practice and you are super motivated and you want to start right now. But for my team, we're kind of in a place where we think if we just try to start back, the practices will be pretty small and we might get burned out later if we start now. So we're just trying to evaluate and look at this in terms of the long view. So I hope that this episode was really helpful and insightful, especially for understanding not just your own feelings and emotions and what you're going through, but what your teammates might be going through, to just better empathize with each other. And I hope that you can find skaters who are at the level that you're at right now and maybe have a little bit of social time, maybe a little bit of workout time, whatever it is you want to be doing. I hope you'll do some of that this week. Thank you for listening. And I have some thank yous before I go. Forgot to pull them up. Here we are. I want to thank our patrons on Patreon, like always, especially our top tier patrons, By Felicia, Stevie Kicks, Rachel White, Tara Wevenson, and the training team at Charlotte Roller Derby. I want to thank Jessica for shopping in the Threadless store this week and picking out Apex Predator and I Utterly Love Roller Derby. I want to thank Genergy, our transcriber, who makes these episodes so accessible. And for everyone who shared things on social media this week, Aaron Jackson, Skate of Mind, Barbie Bont, Pucker Punch, US Speed Skating, Sergey Shiloff, Katie Jo Collins, The Standby Tommy, Roller Derby Impact, Seattle Derby Brats, Widdershinsket, and Jacksonville Roller Derby. And thank you to our sponsors, Roller Derby Athletics and Bout Betties. We have been talking about Derby and sharing Derby thoughts. Pew, pew! Thank you for listening to another episode of Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. I really hope those laser beams of positivity will carry through your day. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook or on Instagram or Twitter at Power Fourth Whistle. That's P-O-W-E-R, the number 4, T-H-W-H-I-S-T-L-E. You can find fun videos of On and Off Skates training at our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Instagram. You could also support the podcast on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. The benefits of becoming a patron include fun stuff I can send you, like stickers, buttons, or shirts from our Threadless store. You can get access to our Discord server, bonus content, and free giveaways. Plus, patrons now have access to an ad-free version of the podcast that will download to your favorite podcast app each week, and everyone can access our transcribed episodes at patreon.com/powerfourthwhistle. If you like the content we provide and want to support us on this journey, please consider becoming a patron. If you want to expand your derby wardrobe, of course, another way to support the podcast is visiting our store at powerforthwhistle.threadless.com, where you can get our designs on just about any type of apparel or accessory you can dream up. Please, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can.
leaving reviews is still the best way to help this podcast be found and spread those laser beams of positivity to more humans. Plus, it's a way you can give back that is completely free. Open up your Apple Podcast app, punch those stars, and leave me a pew pew!